Job openings are immediate. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Nermeen Sheikh, Carla Wills, Laura Gottesdiener, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield, Sam Alkoff, Robbie Karen. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
You're listening to WHFR Dearborn. From Henry Ford College, it's now time for our public affairs show, and we call it the new WHFR Journal. Hello and welcome to another edition of the new WHFR Journal. My name is Jay Koronek, station advisor here at WHFR.fm, the station making waves. We are your non-commercial educational station in Dearborn and for the surrounding area. And you can listen to us anywhere in the world on the internet from our website, WHFR.fm. So, our show today, we're going to be going over some old, new, and also our community schedule, and also some old things, some new things, community schedule, and also some opinions. We'll see how much we can get in today. I brought my cup of tea into Studio A, which is always risky, but just in case my voice gives out somewhere here, since John Conroy, my colleague, is taking the weekend off out of town, hope he has a good trip, and we'll have him back next week, Friday, to save on my voice. Okay, looking at the Dearborn Press and Guide from last Sunday, May 29th, just wanted to make sure, and this is really part of the community schedule, but the Spirit Festival at Dearborn Heights is still going on. It did start last Wednesday. Amazing. It's going to be continuing through Sunday. So what is still left to do? Well, of course, a Spirit Fest is all kinds of things. There's music, there's rides, there's food, all kinds of other special activities too, and fun for the whole family, of course. So let's look at the schedule here for Friday, June 3rd. That's today if you're listening to the live show. Otherwise, I guess you might have missed it depending on when you catch on here. But I'll go through Sunday real quick. Today, Friday, June 3rd, Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest at the Canfield Center. That's where it's located. Amusement rides from 3 to 11 p.m. And Community Service Club area is open from 6 to 8 p.m. tonight. Sandy Adams Dance Review, 5 to 5:45. Second Annual Pasta and Pizza Feast, 5 to 7 p.m. Again, that is at the Canfield Community Center. Specifically, admission is $8 adults, $6 senior citizens, and children's ages 12 and younger. Also at $6. Those younger than three, though, are admitted free. So you have to be one or two, or not even one yet, I guess. That's sponsored by Parkside Church of Christ. Divine Child Pom Pom, it says, squad, 6:20 p.m. will be performing. Larry Lee and Back in the Day, 6:30 to 10 p.m. That's music, probably oldies from what they say, Back in the Day. And at 7 p.m., I know that's a lot of chronological order here, but Police versus Fire Softball Challenge at the Central Park Baseball Field. Tomorrow, June 4th, is Military Appreciation Day at the festival. Amusement rides 12 noon until 11 p.m. There's a Ford Community Chorus, 1 to 2 p.m., singing a salute to the military past and present. Ernie May and Friends Banjo Jamboree, 2:15 to 4 p.m. Elvis Tribute featuring Fred Wolf from 4 to 5:30. Steve King and the Diddleys, 6:30 to 10 p.m. I think they do basically oldies too there. Sunday is Family Day at Dearborn Heights Spirit Fest. Amusement park rides at noon to 11 p.m. Sandy Adams Dance Review, 2 to 2:45 p.m. Dwayne Malinowski Polka Band is 3 to 5 this Sunday. Home Depot Craft Shop Children's Tent, 4 to 6 p.m. this Sunday. And let's see, that Crestwood High Pom Pom Squad is 5:50 p.m. In Captured Detroit, which is a Journey. If you know the band Journey, okay. Pretty old if you do remember that. Anyway, 6 to 9 p.m. So there are three big hours of Journey hit songs, I guess. And free shuttle service, it says. And that is it's called the Spirit Festival Express. Pickup is at the Dearborn Heights Post Office on Ford Road, just east of the Heights Shopping Center. Okay, I know where that is. And the Spirit Festival Express runs every 10 minutes from 5 to 10:30 p.m. June 3rd and 4th, and 5 to 10 p.m. on June 5th. So it's more evening Spirit Festival shuttle rather than daytime. And I think that's because they probably need because the parking lots will be more filled during the evenings. Being familiar with Dearborn Homecoming, that's when the majority of people attend. And so finding a parking spot closer, or even, let's say, at the Canfield Community Center parking lot or nearby there even, it's probably not going to be very easy to do. But the Shuttle Festival Express runs from 5 to 10:30 p.m., June 3rd, 4th, and until only 10 p.m. on Sunday, June 5th. Alrighty, so there can be fun with that. A little bit of maybe some rain tomorrow night, they say, but who knows with Michigan. It could come sooner, maybe it won't come at all. Just an FYI, I have noticed, and maybe you have too if you listen closely to the show, and I know you do, that I've given incorrect dates for a couple events in the past, and I'm too ashamed to mention what they are. The events have passed now, but I did that for a couple weeks in a row during the last month. So I guess I could say I was having senior moments, but I was also misreading the newspaper in front of me. So two points for you to remember. Number one, never believe anything you hear on radio or TV, including this show, because we're on radio, right? Or if you're listening to a podcast, never believe anything first time around. If it gets you thinking, then go check it out. Check out more information somewhere else. A lot of people like to do it online. Go to the most authoritative website. Don't necessarily go to Facebook or Instagram or something to find out about what's really happening. Go closer to the source. That's always a good idea, especially for events and times of events and so on. You want to get the absolute truth. You want confirmation, basically. That's a very intelligent thing to do. You always check and double check before you do something. I think there used to be a DIY show on TV, a handyman show, talking about fixing things up in your house and so on. And the basic principle was, which has probably been out there forever, measure twice, cut once. Again, that's an important principle in carpentry, because if you cut in the wrong place, you might have ruined that piece of wood or that door or that front piece of furniture or whatever. You can't put it back together easily. It's not going to be intact. It's going to be a mess with glue or something. It's just not going to work. So you're causing yourself a lot of extra work and worry, whereas just measuring where you're going to cut, for example, twice, only takes a little bit of time. And then it's a lot easier in the future. You won't have that mistake. So I try to check and double check. But again, I'm on the radio. You can't immediately say to me, because radio is one way, you know, one direction communication. You can't say, Jay, I don't think that's right. And then it passes by and you don't think about anything else. So number one, don't trust anything that you hear on radio or TV, any radio or TV station. If you start thinking about something and want more solid information, check it out yourself. Go to the original sources as close as you can, either on the internet or make a phone call to that, if it's a place of business or the city of Dearborn, city of Dearborn Heights, whatever. Number two, let me know. Yeah, let me know. I feel a little bit let down if I was giving the wrong information for 2 weeks in a row and people just say, well, that's Jay for you. He always gets things wrong. No, I don't always. Don't usually. But let me know. All right. And of course, it would be email to me. I'll get that within 1 day. All right. And then I'll certainly get it before the next show, only on once a week. I'd like to know what's wrong and correct it as soon as possible. And so the email here for anything at the station, questions, comments, whatever, whfr@hfcc.edu. We're still using that email address with the double C's in there for community college because hfc.edu is already taken. Yes, it is. So can't use that. So they're still trying to figure it out. That'd be the last bit of the name change. We started about 2 years ago here. We are now Henry Ford College, but slowly we're changing letterhead, business cards, probably not a lot of the signs and names on the buildings that are really big and expensive will be changed. They'll just stay there for historic effect, I think. You know, part of our history when we used to be called Henry Ford Community College. But the most difficult daily business thing is what are we going to do for a new email address? And I think even though it'll take, oh my God, a lot of typing, henryfordcollege.edu or henryfordcollege.org, whatever they want. But what's the problem with typing Henry Ford College? That's not a big deal. Nobody else has got that, certainly. I mean, that's available. So that's my recommendation. Remember, all opinions on this show are not necessarily those of anyone but the originators, including myself, not anyone here at Henry Ford College, faculty, staff, students, or administrators, or Board of Education people who are called Board of Trustees when they sit to officiate over Henry Ford College. And we do thank Henry Ford College for allowing us to set up our own programming. They do have a couple of very small guidelines, but nothing very intrusive. As long as we're doing a good job of trying to serve the community in the fairest and most open possible way. Yep. Okay. Looking quickly at Wednesday, June 1st, and the Dearborn Times-Herald. It's interesting that they almost always put this in the headlines on the front page. Editorial decision here. Another major business in town is closing, although maybe something new will spring up. And this is Dearborn Sports Authority. It's going to close by the end of summer. The sporting goods chain is closing all of its 460 stores. It is a company that's based in Englewood, Colorado, and all of its stores are going to close. So I guess if all of its stores are going to close, that's the end of them. apparently, they plan to close 140 stores and two distribution centers after filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy in March of this year because of the increase of online shopping and over $1 billion in debt. That's a lot of money, but it's a nationwide operation. As a result of these changes in consumer buying patterns, they don't need as many stores. But on May 20th, the sports chain announced the closing of all 460 stores after it was unable to adapt to consumers' move to online. It's hard to compete, especially if you're a storefront in West Dearborn. And liquidation sales at stores nationwide are underway, with Dearborn scheduled for sometime next week. So, yes, that would be next week. So, all kinds of athletic sporting-type goods. Dearborn Heights has approved its budget for next year, that is 2016 to 17, that is July 1st to June 30th, beginning this year and ending next year. It's interesting, Dearborn probably won't make the final approval till later in June. They were already done with their budget sessions here in Dearborn, their public forums, comment sessions, and so on. And of course, that budget has already been submitted to the council, so it will probably be almost intact when it's voted on, unless there have been major concerns or problems or exclusions found along the way of the investigations. And you can read that at cityofdearborn.org. Just download it. It is 11 pages long, but as we talked to Mayor O'Reilly here on this show, April 22nd, you can listen to the podcast, of course, from WHFR.fm. Just click on Talk Shows and then click on WHFR Journal and select the date. And again, the date of my interview with Mayor O'Reilly, in which at the end, about 10 minutes from the end, I brought up several issues about the budget proposals, is April 22nd. So 4/22/16 is the date you'd want to listen to the podcast. You want to see Mayor O'Reilly's comments, primarily, even though it's not specifically in the budget, but the budget mentions that we're going to need more money in order to get through 2017, probably. And of course, the two main reasons, it should be obvious to people that there is the supplemental millage that was approved in, I think it was 2011, is going to be expiring at the end of this year. And so what are you going to do when that, a couple million is gone, is not there anymore? Property values have not come up fast enough. Well, actually, they have, but good old Headley Amendment that's in place, that voters put in place back in the 90s, to keep those terrible politicians from raising their taxes too fast. Well, so taxes can't raise, even though property values say, yes, that people should be paying more taxes on their property because it's worth more now again. That the economy is rebounding a little bit, and you should be paying more in taxes, you know, the fair share according to property value. Now, of course, Mayor O'Reilly talked about he doesn't think that property taxes are all that fair overall. If that's the only way to fund the city, it's not going to be good for the city, any city, because values will go up and down depending on the economic climate. So how's the city going to get the extra funding? Well, the people of Dearborn rose to the occasion in 2009 after the terrible economic problem of 2008 and voted in a temporary millage. And so that will either have to be extended again or we'll have to have a different kind of tax to make up the difference. But of course, it'll only be the amount of money that we should be paying anyway for property tax if it wasn't for the Henley Amendment saying that it can't go up that much each year. And I don't know why it shouldn't. But I do believe and I do agree that property taxes alone are not the fairest way or the most consistent way to fund government, whether it's city government or state government, whatever. And the state, of course, has their income tax, as you know. They have other, I think, excise taxes of some sort or another, too. On alcohol, for example, isn't there internally alcohol sales, liquor sales have a extra excise tax? There's extra tax on cigarettes that I think stays in Michigan, and so on. But, of course, there's also the third choice, which is the sales tax. And the state of Michigan has a sales tax. But Dearborn doesn't. And, of course, if you're part of the Republican majority in Michigan legislature, they don't believe in any new taxes. They want to lower taxes, which means there'll be no money at all for anything government is currently doing, and government needs to do a few other things, even better, I think, and it would be dollars well spent. For example, we won't be paying to fix the roads, and our roads won't be getting the major repairs they need for another year or two, thanks to what the legislature approved, and they only approved a total of $1.1 billion a year. Well, the current estimates are by people that know roads say that that won't be enough because even Governor Snyder, 3-4 years ago when he came into office, said we need $1.2 billion for 10 years just to catch up in our repairs to our roads and bridges. And now the estimate is $3 billion a year is what we really need for 10 years. So do you want to fix the roads and bridges or don't you care? You don't care that you can't drive anywhere without blowing a tire, or worried about whether or not the bridge is going to hold while you drive over it. You know, it's money well spent on infrastructure. Very well spent, I think. That's my opinion, of course. Those that disagree with me, then we'll find a place that you can live that has no infrastructure. Okay. Let's see, a cabin in the woods, no electricity, no plumbing. Does that sound great to a few people? Yeah, if you know how to live off the land. And if the underground water supply hasn't been siphoned away for commercial reselling, which is going on here in Michigan. I can't remember the water company right now, but in the western part of the state, they got free groundwater, and they're pumping it all out. And they're making tons of money on it. Private profit. And pretty soon, people in those areas are very worried because they're on their own piece of land, and they've got their own well dug, you know, to that aquifer, as it's called, underground, and their water's going to be all gone in a few years. But let that big company sell water for private profit. Water, clean water, should be free to everybody. And I think your government, through taxes, should pay for the sewer systems and the water systems because everybody needs it. Why pay an extra bill? You said, well, it's because if you use more water, you should pay more money. It's actually cheaper than all the billing and all the hassle with who's paying. Just raise the taxes a little bit. Of course, I think the people who have more discretionary money should be paying more. So yours truly, yes, is in favor of graduated taxes. Or, yes, a sales tax, because the people that are richer usually buy more. Okay, and stop those tax cuts. Even libertarians agree to that. Stop the tax cuts and the tax rebates and the loopholes. Let all businesses pay the same amount of tax. That's called fair. Many big businesses, as you know, in this country, big corporations, especially with their big team of lawyers, pay nothing or get money back from the government every single year. They pay nothing. Dearborn Heights, yeah. Their budget is going to be slightly larger. About $500,000 increase for 2016-17, but they worked it out, and everybody voted for it except Councilman Thomas Berry was absent. So it passed 6-0. So I guess there wasn't too much dispute about those costs. Okay. And looking at the Dearborn Press and Guide from this last Wednesday. A prosecutor, it's on the front page, prosecutor, that is Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, is going to be deciding if the shooting of the unarmed man was justified. So that is the fatal shooting in December of an unarmed Detroit man by Dearborn Police. Okay, the Detroit Police Department were the ones doing the initial investigation. They have completed that now. And it's now up to Wayne County Prosecutor Kim Worthy to decide whether the shooting was justified. The prosecutor's office has received a warrant request, as it's called, and it's being reviewed at this time. It's not known how long it will be before a decision is released, however. And Matthews, 35, was shot multiple times. He was unarmed, but Matthews supposedly, according to police, struggled with the officer following a foot chase from Dearborn into a nearby Detroit backyard. Officials said Matthews was involved in earlier larceny in Dearborn, that is a theft, and was wanted by another police agency on a misdemeanor warrant. He allegedly reached for the officer's gun during the struggle. According to family members, Matthews was severely mentally ill. How do you know that about someone when you look at them? Okay. I mean, I hate to use the term, but if you're acting in a very strange, abnormal way, are you just mad or certifiably crazy in some way? Or are you hampered in your thinking, restricted by your case? Unfortunately, unless you're going to wear a sign on your chest and your back, I don't know how a police officer would know about this. But anyway, it says in previous encounters, though, with police, he was typically just taken home because of his, I'm probably being insensitive here, impairment, because of his physical situation or mental situation. His mother said to Associated Press that her son had been diagnosed as having paranoid schizophrenia and wasn't a threat. Well, excuse me, I'm not a medical doctor, but paranoid schizophrenia is where you're afraid of almost everybody and everything to the extreme degree. I think that could be, you could be threatening to yourself, and maybe out of that paranoia, you would strike back against authority figures. So I know there's medication. You can drug people into submission, of course. I've heard about that. And so I don't know. But paranoid schizophrenia is not necessarily a nonviolent condition. And anyway, that's because I've been saying in the show, how long is it going to take the Detroit police to make a decision? It's already June. Okay, it was end of May. So they actually worked on this investigation for 5 months. 6 months, starting in December through May. 6 months. And now it's going to Wayne County Prosecutor's Office, and we'll see what happens there. That's an important update. So now Kim Worthy's office is going to get all the protesters out in front of it. You know, I just have to say, the case was, you know, sent to the Detroit Police Department for investigation. Why were all the protesters for about a month still in front of the Detroit Police Station? Okay, I know there was another incident in January. But it was out of their hands after it was, yes, something happened. There was an incident. And to be fair, the investigation went to the Detroit Police Department. So if you want it to be resolved in some way, as quickly as possible, why wouldn't you complain to the people doing the investigation? Waiting 6 months for the investigation. That doesn't seem right to me. I don't care who's doing it. That's just too long. And what about the Michigan State Police? How long will it take them? They got a case from Dearborn, again, in January. How long will it take them to do the investigation? Apparently, they're no better off in terms of investigators or spare time on their hands than the Detroit Police Department, who I think is understaffed anyway, but my personal opinion. Okay, so we're catching up there. This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. Jay Cornyn with you today, talking about local news and some alternative views. And let's just talk here about talk here. Let's take a little break. I'm going to take a little break. But I think you should listen. Just a couple of fun comments here. One is from Jim Hightower. And it's all about how a foreign beer conglomerate. I know we love beer here in Michigan. Although it turns out we're not the biggest drinkers in the United States. What state, there's always these lists and surveys, what state is full of the biggest drinkers? What state's population drinks the most alcoholic beverages? Wisconsin. Wisconsin. That's right. I don't know if that's per capita, but... So Jim Hightower talks about foreign beer conglomerates taking over making beer. And Jack Lessenberry talks about the Mackinac Conference, which is going on now. WDET has been broadcasting for the last 3 days live from the Mackinac or Mackinac Policy Conference. But I think you ought to hear what that's really all about. So first, Jim Hightower, and then Jack Lessenberry.
Is anything too tacky, too shameful for corporate advertisers to exploit? I mean, anything. Of course, ad makers get almost pornographic in using sex to sell stuff. But sexploitation almost seems tasteful compared to Budweiser's latest gambit to grab American patriotism as its personal marketing mechanism. I realize that our flag has long been unfurled to sell everything from guns to toilet paper, but Budweiser is not merely wrapping itself in the stars and stripes. It is literally claiming to be America. How? By usurping the very name of our country. For the next 6 months, this imperious corporation is grandiosely rebranding its brew as America. Patriotism, you see, is just another name for profit. And Bud's top executives see the coming months, including July 4th, the Olympics, and even our presidential election, as one long season for us to salute their flag of crass commercialism. You have this wave of patriotism that is going to go up and down throughout the summertime, explains the conglomerate's PR huckster, and we found with Budweiser such a beautiful angle to play on that sentiment. And play on it they are, shamelessly plucking our patriotic heartstrings by plastering every 12-ounce can of America with such iconic symbols of Americana as E Pluribus Unum, land of the free and home of the brave, the opening stanza of our national anthem, plus a verse lifted from Woody Guthrie's This Land Is Your Land. This is Jim Hightower saying, imagine how proud George Washington and the revolutionaries of 1776 would be to see that this is what their democratic idealism and struggle has come to, an ad campaign for a beer corporation. Indeed, a foreign corporation. Budweiser, now America, is owned by a Brazilian consortium and headquartered in Belgium. Happy Independence Day, America!
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit hightowerlowdown.org.
I'm Jack Lessenberry. I ran into John Rakolta late Tuesday afternoon as he was arriving on Mackinac Island for the Detroit Regional Chamber of Commerce's annual policy conference. Nobody could possibly question Rakolta's conservative credentials. He's raised millions for GOP candidates over the years. He was a national finance chair of Mitt Romney's first presidential campaign and was state finance director for Rick Snyder. He has a graduate degree from Harvard Business School and is the CEO of Wallbridge, the giant century-old construction firm that's been owned by his family for decades. Yet Rakolta is passionately committed to education and saving Detroit schools. He not only supports Governor Rick Snyder's plan to spend $715 million to give the schools a new start, he thinks that isn't enough. There are 65,000 skilled jobs in Michigan right now that employers can't fill, he told me while walking up to the Grand Hotel. 65,000. He added that our schools weren't turning out students with the skills to take them. Rakolta is a conservative, but one who both has a conscience and who believes we need to plan for the future. He came to Mackinac primarily to be on a panel this morning. Kids reap rewards when leaders leave comfort zones to drive Detroit schools reform. Rakolta is something rare in Michigan today. He's a true leader, a man approaching 70 who spent his entire life in the private sector, a conservative who recognizes the need for a public sector that can help prepare our kids for the future. I've never asked him why, but perhaps that's because all four of his grandparents came from Romania, a country that was one of the worst hell holes on earth under communism. They came to a place where public education helped them make it. Rakolta's not alone. There are other business leaders who recognize the need to save the schools. Some of this is likely enlightened self-interest. It is hard to plan for the future when you can't find workers who have basic math and literary skills. When I first attended a Mackinac conference in 1988, there was a clear and obvious divide between business and labor, Republicans and Democrats. Today, you might say the split is more between the rational and irrational, between those honestly seeking solutions and those consumed with irrational ideologies, fears, and hatreds. However, not many of the latter are at this rather expensive conference. Most of the attendees are undoubtedly Republicans, but my educated guess is that very few wanted Donald Trump. Nobody, in fact, is talking much about the presidential election. They're focused on Michigan. They know this has been a grim year. Flint has largely ruined the career of the governor who had always been hugely popular with this group. Additionally, it sounded a clear warning about this state's aging infrastructure. Michigan has devolved in the last three decades from one of the nation's richest states to one among the poorest. Education's in crisis, not only in Detroit but statewide. Income inequality is stark and growing, and our political system seems paralyzed. With that backdrop, those attending this conference are struggling to find a way forward for Michigan to have a future. We need to wish them luck.
Jack Lessenberry is Michigan Radio's news analyst.
This is Jake Koronek back on the new WHFR Journal for Friday, June 3rd, 2016. pregnant pause there, make it more dramatic. Yes, it is June. It is now June in Michigan. Coming up, let's see, this Sunday, June 5th, 3 p.m., Michael A. Guido Theater, Ford Community and Performing Arts Center, the Motor City Brass Band, ending their season, as it's called, of performances there, and they've been doing it for more than 20 years, under the director Craig Strain. And 3 o'clock, great performance, great for the family, great fun, all kinds of great big band music. And I think there's going to be some special things going on, too. Adults $19, seniors $17, students $15. And you can get those tickets at the Ford Community and Performing Arts box office. And maybe in person, too, on Sunday. I should mention that we've had a contest to give away 5 pairs of tickets. Well, 1 pair to each person for a giveaway. And there will be announcements throughout the afternoon that we'll be running. We've been trying to give away these 5 pairs of tickets since Monday. And I don't understand why people wouldn't want to call for those. Okay. It's free. And imagine, $19 a person, normally for adults. $38. Now, of course, if you win a ticket, please come. I mean, by all means, okay? Your name will be there at the door, but not unless you win. So listen to when the announcement runs, and then call in to WHFR. And if you're the first caller or third caller, whatever the DJ says at the time, then we'll put your name on the list. Oh, it'll be fun, honest. And obviously, Ford Community Performing Arts Center is a great place to see any kind of entertainment. Okay, moving back to our show and local news and alternative views. We did last week, and last week was May 27th, have a 30-minute interview and discussion with Gene Hunt, who is running for 19th District Judge. He'll be one of 3 candidates going into the primary on August 2nd. August 2nd is the primary election day, and then the top 2 from that will go on to compete, if you will, in the November election for the final selection. And we were talking with him, and one question we will ask other candidates that we'll be talking to here on this show about endorsements. Well, just 2 days ago, June 1st, State Representative George DeRaney has issued a press release endorsing Gene Hunt for the Dearborn 19th District Judge. Okay, so, I mean, I don't know if that means anything to you. Gene Hunt gave a lot of information about himself and his background and his feelings on a number of issues. I highly recommend you tell people who, before they vote, to at least listen to our show if they can't get a chance to talk to him or hear him talk somewhere else in Dearborn before that August 2nd primary. You have to be an educated voter, not just a voter who's just, I don't know, voting for some irrational reason, like you like the sound of the name. Or you always vote for women, not men, or men, not women, or, you know. And endorsements might be a reason, but that's what somebody else says. And I think always make sure it's your choice, not somebody else's. But nonetheless, it's kind of interesting that George DeRaney has endorsed Gene Hunt for that judgeship. But the other endorsements that just came out, as noted as of yesterday, at the ArabAmericanNews.com, and it'll be in their printed edition probably for this weekend, the AAPAC, that's the Arab American Political Action Committee, based here in Dearborn, has made its endorsements for 2 key races for the primary election. And, of course, AAPAC, they are interested in candidates that certainly are are open to the goals and the needs of the Arab American community. I mean, okay. So that's their slant, that's their bias, but of course that's what they're all about. That's totally fair. And who did they endorse for judge? Kind of interesting that they endorsed Abby Bazzi, or Bazzi, Excuse me. We'll find out. Abby Bazzi will be here on the show in 3 weeks. That's right. She'll get her 30 minutes of fame here on the Journal on the 24th of June. That's when she's scheduled. She agreed to come in, and that's wonderful. We'll talk to her about that, and I'm sure she'll reinforce the fact that she was endorsed by the AAPAC. Now, of course, both she and one of the other candidates, Susan DeBaggia, who is currently the Dearborn City Council president, got the most votes for Dearborn City Council in the last election, so she gets to be sort of the leader, the chairperson of the Dearborn City Council. Is that the discussion was, well, first of all, it's kind of interesting, is it says here in their press release in the story that Bazzi and DeBaggia are both AAPAC members and were able to cast votes for themselves during the endorsement process. So I just wonder what the votes were between Bazzi, DeBaggia, and Gene Hunt, who got interviewed by them, which was great. They gave him a chance to sit down and be interviewed to find out what he was thinking, what he says. But he wasn't a member, so he couldn't vote for himself. I do think that was totally wrong. That's conflict of interest, folks. I think it's unethical. But I remember I ran for senior class president in Flat Rock High School, and 1963 was the election, and I was senior class president for 63 to 64. I could vote for myself. Yeah, they allowed that. And I did. And I won by one vote. And I found out that the other candidate, he voted for me. Well, the first thing you learn about in politics is you always vote for yourself. That's because you don't want to lose by one vote. And he was a nice guy, too. I followed the hard-nosed politician approach and voted for myself. And I'm sure Bazzi and DeBaggia did too. If they're politicians at all, they should vote for themselves, because if you don't believe in yourself enough to vote for yourself, you shouldn't be running for the office. You get that? Yeah. You don't want to lose by one vote, your vote. So there you are. But I still don't think that's right somehow. Nonetheless, it's interesting that the APAC, as it's sometimes, I think, called APAC, not PAC, AAPAC members expressed concerns about Susan DeBaggia because DeBaggia's term doesn't expire at Dearborn City Council until the beginning of 2018. Well, sure, all the way through 2017, okay? And there'll be another election for council members in the fall of 2017. But the community would be losing an important position on council. Absolutely. I mean, if you see it that way, anyway, because she is sort of the chairperson. She sort of decides, you know, who talks when and how much and so on, and what things get on the agenda, perhaps, and stay on the agenda, perhaps. So a very, very important position. And so that may be a reason, just because the story talks about it here, is that some of those members really wanted her to stay on the city council. It's only her first term, but they wanted that extra influence on the Dearborn City Council. I don't see it as influence. I just see it as very visible governance, and under so much pressure that you can't be biased to one side or the other. And I had never been that criticism of Susan DeBaggia. However, the story does answer one question I brought up. If she did run and was elected in November, who would come into the vacancy automatically at the Dearborn City Council? Well, it would be the eighth highest vote getter in the 2013 City Council race, and that happens to be Patrick Melton, M-E-L-T-O-N. And I'm sorry, I don't know if Patrick was ever interviewed on this show. We try to interview, if they allow us, all of the challengers running for local offices, and that's sort of just the way we see it here. They need the extra attention for name recognition, and I don't remember Patrick Melton, but I bet we asked him to come by and be interviewed. Anyway, he would fill her vacancy if she was elected, and she is running. Susan DeBaggia is running in the primary, and of course, if she's the top in the top two, she'll go on to the race in the fall. But anyway, we have asked, by the way, Susan DeBaggia, as I mentioned last week, to come and talk to us for half an hour, giving her 30 minutes before August 2nd on this show, and she has not responded with a time and date. We have been able to contact her, and she knows that we're interested, and she hasn't let us know what time or date. Susan, if you're listening, just WHFR at hfcc.edu. Let me know which Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock you'd like to do 30 minutes with us answering the questions, pretty much the same questions, just to be fair, that we asked Gene Hunt last week. Glad to do that for you. As I said, Abby Bazzi is going to be here in 3 weeks on this show on June 24th. So, obviously, we're not going to have DeBaggia on the 24th, but okay. A lot of other dates open there, Susan, so let us know.
Okay.
Just one other sort of calendar issue here. I mentioned last week that the annual meeting of the League of Women Voters of Dearborn Heights, a group that I am, in full disclosure, a member of, their annual meeting is Wednesday, June 22nd, and it's going to be at Park Place. Doors open at 5:30. There's an open buffet, which is part of the fee. They're actually having a fee. It's the annual meeting. $30 per member or $40 for a non-member if you want to sit in and find out if you, because there'll be a business session too after the full buffet dinner. And the deadline to let them know and to send your money into the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights is Friday, June 17th. So that's 2 weeks from today. If you want to go to that annual meeting and find out about the League of Women Voters Dearborn Heights, although their monthly meetings are open to anyone to come by and sit in and join at that time. But also on the 22nd, I just got this notice in the mail, a big fundraiser, which doesn't cost any money, by the way, on Wednesday, June 22nd from 6 to 8 p.m., for the Dearborn Animal Shelter, now officially in this publication called the Friends for Animals of Metro Detroit. And, of course, you know, they're raising money. They've started a Raise the Woof, not Raise the Roof, Raise the Woof community rally. That's what's going to happen on Wednesday, June 22nd, and it's going to be at 16121 Michigan Avenue, Dearborn. It's the former Amtrak station. The former Amtrak station is going to be open, and there's going to be a complimentary dinner, that means free, catered by Shimmy Shack and Smoky Roads Barbecue food trucks. So the food trucks will be out there, so get in line early. You can sign up for I Believe activities to unite our community, and you can visit with rescued animals and pledge your support. Of course, they do want that pledge of support. That means money, especially. I think they still need a couple $1 million to build the new home, the new Animal Adoption and Education Center. I've already given my contribution to that, by the way. Just letting you know. Well, guess what? I can't be at either one of these events, not just because they're on the same day at the same time, and I support both of them. MM members of both organizations. Yes, I am. But that night is Wednesday night. It's our usual WHFR meeting night every Wednesday evening. And I have a class I teach too, and it's the final exam for the spring semester for that class. So I can't be at either one of these things. So somebody go for me, you know, in my place. Well, so I'm saying, go, please. Cornet can't attend, so you better attend. Okay, one or the other. You have to choose. Okay, it's on your calendar. I know it is. June 22nd. What else is going on here? Oh my goodness. Okay, we did this story a couple months ago, and from the Detroit Metro Times, again, metrotimes.com, a great website for news about Detroit and the surrounding area. And this is just from Wednesday. It was posted. The Great Lakes Water Authority. You say, well, who are they? They're in charge of the water system and the sewage system for the region. Southeastern Michigan. It's a regional water authority now. not just Detroit. Detroit doesn't make decisions. We're all banded together, and that's the way it should be. We've been saying on this show, we need regional planning. We need regional organization to run these things because we're all in it together. Okay? And so this is the first time they've been able to set their own rate, and it's going to be 4.3% higher in service charges beginning July 1st. So your water bill is going to go up a little bit, folks. However, it's 50% lower than last year's increase, but it's higher still than predicted. In May, I think we read an article that said there's going to be a 3.2% increase. Well, it's 4.3% hike, but it's still 50% lower than last year's increase, which must have been 8 or 9% when it was still under the Detroit water company, whatever. The city was in charge of it. So now it's part of this Great Lakes Water Authority, a great idea, even though costs are always going up. One reason for the cost is the imminent departure of Genesee County. They're going to be part of the Carignan-Indi Water Authority. In 2014, Genesee County and Flint signed onto the KWA, which is expected to be finished next year. And, of course, Flint has had problems with water, but when this goes into effect, they'll have their own water company, their own water system. You know, that I don't know why, but Detroit was charging them a fantastic amount of money, maybe for the extra pumping it takes to get the water up to Flint. And of course, we know about the problems they've had and so on. But if they're just not paying anything in, then the GLWA, our own Great Lakes Water Authority, is going to be losing $18 million a year. And so we got to make up for that with the extra cost here. Also, there's cost in repairing the Detroit wastewater treatment plant, which was devastated in a fire this past spring. And you wonder, well, how can a water plant burst into flame? Remember, we're talking about wastewater here, maybe sewage, and some of that's flammable. I don't know, gases and so on. Whatever it was, they got to fix it. And so that's the story there. Just not too much of an increase. Each year we seem to get a couple of percent increases in just about everything. But I think over the long term, this is a very responsible way to handle the whole water system in this region, including Dearborn. All right. A couple other quick things, but only about 10 minutes, not quite 10 minutes to go until Highway 61. Kitty Love comes in doing the best of the blues for you from 2 to 4 p.m. today. And at 4 p.m., we get Mike Holloway continuing blues music here on WHFR.FM, station making waves, from 4 to 6 p.m. But it's going to be a great show, so stay tuned after the journal for that. Also coming up, well, let's stay with this story. Also from ArabAmericanNews.com, a great story, an overview on the major public transit plan here for this region. We talked about regional water. Great idea. Regional transit plan. Okay. And this last Tuesday at Lawrence Technical University, it was revealed by the Regional Transit Authority of Southeastern Michigan, which they abbreviate as just RTA, which is used in many places in the country. You'll hear that reference if you go around or read papers from other. Well, the RTA says this, the RTA says that, Regional Transit Authority. Well, we've got one too now, okay? And their complete detailed plan was revealed this last Tuesday. It could put an end to the mobility drawback. It would allow for reliable and speedy travel by residents between Wayne, Oakland, Washtenaw, and Macomb counties. So back and forth, without needing to drive your car. Ford Motor Company hates that. But, you know, Ford always says that they're thinking of themselves as a mobility company in the future. So maybe they'll get into other kinds of transit than just cars. Anything they can make a profit on, of course. Of course, in Dearborn, a key component of the regional rail project would connect downtown Ann Arbor to downtown Detroit with a stop at John Dingell Transit Center in Dearborn. Well, that's very, very important. And, of course, there'll be a bus rapid transit project also connecting downtown Detroit along Michigan Avenue to East and West Dearborn, then further west to Merriman Avenue, too. And so that rails on wheels would, as they call it, the buses would use up to two lanes. Very interesting, that plan. And let's see, that project expected to be completed. Oh, also a heavily improved bus service on Greenfield Road, that's north-south, that would start at the John D. Dingell Transit Center, which is just a little west of Greenfield, and end in Troy, Michigan. Wow, that project expected to be completed by 2018. And the totality of the plan is expected to be done within the first 10 years, while the bulk of it should be completed within the first 5 years. Major operations in the city should be done by 2022, while bus rapid transit projects are projected to be completed by 2026. The idea is to create a transit service that's rapid enough to compete with the auto transit with cars. Oh, boy. And it's just a supplement, you know, but it's going to be some other ways that you can move around the city less expensively, at least the longer transits apparently throughout the Tri-County area. No word here about train service in this article, train service to the airport. Not that flying in airplanes is the best way to go, or standing in lines at the TSA portals is the way to go, but nonetheless, that was going to be part of this too, and I don't see anything there. But pretty good overview of what's happening short-term anyway for that plan, ArabAmericanNews.com. Also starting this weekend, and I understand it's Sunday evening, June 5th, and running through July 4th or 5th, and I'm not sure about that, but it's Ramadan. Ramadan is observed by Muslims worldwide as a month of fasting to commemorate the first revelation of the Quran to Muhammad. It's according to Islamic belief, of course. While fasting from dawn until dusk, that's from 5 a.m. in the morning to 9:15 p.m. at night, in the summer anyway, Muslims refrain from consuming food, drinking liquids, smoking, or engaging in sexual relations. Muslims are also instructed to refrain from sinful behavior that may negate the reward of fasting, such as false speeches, insults, backbiting, cursing, lying, and so forth. You fill in the rest, and fighting, too. So I wonder about the Middle Eastern countries. Do they stop their wars in Afghanistan during Ramadan? I don't think so. Anyway, fasting is a noble goal for a number of reasons. I personally have to say that is, and they talk about not drinking liquids, except that 7-hour, 45-minute period from 9:15 p.m. at night to 5 a.m. in the morning, you can't even drink water. That is definitely unhealthy for everybody. And everybody needs about 64 ounces a day, and you can't just chug it all at once. That will destroy your kidneys, by the way. So what are you supposed to do? Not sleep for those 7 hours and 45 minutes? I mean, you have to eat during that time, too. So eating a big meal late at night before you go to bed, that's very bad for you health-wise, too. So if you have to sacrifice for your beliefs, it's not rational. I'm sorry, I have to say that. I think it's a noble effort, and I do believe in the value of fasting and meditation, and especially I'm a total believer in not doing sinful things. I don't like that false speech, and I don't like that fighting stuff. Why can't that be all the time? Not just 1 month. And there's some advice from a columnist in the Downriver News Herald. Okay, the newsherald.com. His name is Mike Agemy, A-G-E-M-Y. And he actually works at a fitness facility downriver in Lincoln Park and also in Dearborn. I won't mention the name of the company. It might be a commercial. But he suggests that certainly the breakfast meal before dawn is, and this is important for everyone. It's a good health tip here. It should be a big, big meal with a lot of protein. That's eggs, cheese, yogurt, nuts, and fiber. It will help stave off hunger for a long period. Everybody needs a lot of fiber a day. It's so many grams of, protein a day, fiber too. But protein is at least 50 or 60 grams, depending on your body weight and age and so on. Actually, more protein for older people than younger people, interestingly, is what I've read. That's my own non-scientific, non-medical doctor opinion. But I agree with him, and he's got some good points there. So if you are Muslim and you want to practice Ramadan, it's going to be very difficult to do it in a healthy way. But nonetheless, if you want to do it, try some of those suggestions. Hydration is that other thing. You need exercise, too. Suggest you can walk in the evening, maybe before your evening meal. He suggests after your evening meal, but that cuts into 7 hours and 45 minutes that you have to drink water, eat a meal, and sleep. So to go without sleep for a month, that's a problem. Obviously, Ramadan, when it comes here in the winter, those long nights, well, it's not quite so difficult, okay, because you get more time for eating and sleeping and drinking water. But in the summer, oh, then it's a problem. So watch, be careful, stay healthy. And whatever your religious practices are, just do them in a way that is positive for everyone. And just like I say about special holidays and observances, gee whiz, be nice and loving all the time, not just during the holidays. Why wait till the holidays? Can't you be nice and loving all the time? Of course you can. Of course you can. All right. Let's see what else here. Anything else? No. I'm going to read my commencement address for the most indebted graduating college class ever, but no time for that today. So I hope you got information that will challenge you and force you to go out and read and study more. Especially, remember, what's local matters most because it's right next door. Thanks for tuning in to the new WHFR Journal. We're going to go out with actually a song here. This is from the Accidentals. It's a trio from Traverse City, and we'll just play a little bit of it, and then Kitty Love will get started with her show. This group got great attention at South by Southwest Music Fest in Austin last month, and they're making a big scene nationally. They're called the Accidentals, and here's a song. They're actually singing songs about Michigan. Yeah, Michigan. Yay. Okay. Not about Flint, though. But anyway, here we go. Take care out there. WHFR Dearborn.
We lay down in the grass in a nest of sleeping bags, breathing in the shallow canyon air. The water 45 degrees. We wade out to the knees and soak to the sleeves in a semi-aquatic prayer. Great state, what state am I in? Compass roses bloom again. Home of the water, Canada's daughter, cradled in a crescent moon grin. Michigan and again and again and again and again. Michigan and again.